Something about getting back up to speed after having a week off is, still working out what's sitting and what's standing. Last week we looked at blessings and woes, and there was that promise that we would be blessed as we draw close to God. But at the same time, I think as we hear our gospel reading today, being blessed doesn't necessarily mean an easy life. I think hopefully you'll agree with me. The Christian life is not necessarily easy, but we can be blessed to walk in step with God. Now, I'm no saver, but I get the sense of freedom that those who enjoy sailing and those who are passionate about it, who love going out on the boat into the middle of the ocean or wherever it is, and that sense of connectedness to nature, the sense of space and freedom, the constant rocking movement, and perhaps the speed of the boat, if you can get it going, that all must be, you know, really, really exciting. I also get the other side of it, the kind of feeling of completely out of control with what's going to happen with the weather, feeling so small and cut off, even when I've been on a ferry across the channel. You get to that point where you can't see any land, and you think, well, we're in the middle of nowhere now. Who can hear us if we cry out? There's a problem. There's a sense of perhaps being powerless, and you kind of look down at the water and think, well, you know, it just goes on, the depth. So there's kind of both sides to being out on the boat. But for the Israelites, the water, the sea is a real symbol of chaos and darkness. They're not necessarily a seafaring nation, I suppose, and so for them the sea always represents something foreboding. In fact, in Revelation, I think it's towards the end of Revelation, it says in heaven or in the eternal there will be no sea. I'm sorry to disappoint those who are keen sailors, but I'm sure that's just a symbol that there won't be the chaos that the sea brings. I'm sure there'll be something. But anyway, our gospel reading takes place on a lake, actually, although it's sometimes called the Sea of Galilee, Lake Gennesaret, I think it is. It's an inland sea, but it's quite a size. It's probably three or four times bigger than Poole Harbour. And there's no islands, it's just a sea. It's about 13 by 8 miles, according to my research. And the other thing, it's about 700 foot below sea level, because of the way the geology works in that area. And on one side are mountains that rise up, and on the other side are the hills where Jesus did a lot of his ministry. And so that's what gives rise to the sudden squalls or wind storms, that the cold air comes down from the mountains, and when it reaches the sea, it causes those problems. And of course, some of Jesus' disciples would have known all about that. They were a seasoned fisherman, would have been out in their fishing boats on the sea. In fact, they discovered one of these fishing boats from the first century AD in the mud. About 30 years ago, managed to excavate it. And if you go to the Sea of Galilee today, they've got this museum. They call it the Jesus Boat, although there's no definite connection with Jesus' ministry. But it's certainly an example. And so the sort of boat that they were on, it's about 8 metres by 2 metres, so maybe between the two walls here and kind of so wide. So not a very big boat to be being tossed around by the wind. I guess if you've got 6 burly guys either sitting either side of it as well, it's going to become quite cramped. So just an idea really of what it might be like. Now I'll try and help the youngsters when I go in and do assembly to give them some ideas. So I thought I'd bring my prop along. It has to be foldable so I can get it on the bike when I go and do assembly. But this is my little boat, just to try and symbolise the sort of thing. So I get them all sort of stood in here when we're acting out one of the stories. I couldn't do a width phase one, but it works quite well having the front, and they all gather around. And you can imagine it's used quite often. There's quite a lot of stories where the disciples are out in the boat, or they're out fishing or whatever. But just to give you an idea, so they're on that boat, and what strikes me is interesting. It's Jesus who sets the direction. It's Jesus who says, let's go across to the other side of the lake. And then he falls asleep in the back of the boat. And the rest of the story we know well. It's recorded in three of the Gospels. And in Luke's Gospel, we get perhaps a softening of Jesus' interaction with the disciples, but he's still pretty scathing of them. When they wake him up, Master, Master, they call him. And when they wake him up, he rebukes the wind. And then there's calm, and he says to them, "Where is your faith?" Small consolation, perhaps, that he doesn't say you've got no faith. He just says, "Where is it?" So there's an assumption that they've got some faith, but at that point it is vanished from them. And he shows such an amazing power over nature and over that chaotic thing that is water. There's a great echo here from one of the Psalms. Actually, we don't often read out the Psalms, but I'm going to read a small section from Psalm 107. So clearly this is written a long time before, but it gives us a sense of how the people in the Old Testament looked to the sea, but also how they looked to God and his power over it. So in Psalm 107 verse 23 says, "Some went down to the sea in ships, doing their business on the mighty waters. They saw the deeds of the Lord, for he commanded and raised the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves of the sea. They mounted up to heaven and they went down to the depths." A great description of what often causes seasickness. "Their courage melted away in their calamity. They reeled and staggered like drunkards and were at their wit's end. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out from their distress. He made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. Then they were glad because they had quiet, and he brought them to their desired haven." What a picture of what we've just heard in the Gospel, written so many hundreds of years before. Jesus, with his power over nature and linking back to God, and his power over the waves and the wind. We see it in the story of Moses when the Red Sea is parted. We see it in the story of Noah when the rain stops and the wind dries the land eventually. We certainly see it in the story of Jonah when he's thrown in to the water and the sea is calm. And there's a bit of a pattern in each of those stories as well, which as I read this passage and thought about what it might speak to us today about, I thought, actually, yeah, there's a thread through that links in with the journey we're on as well. And that's that sense that God gives a vision, God gives an idea for Moses, for Noah, for Jonah, and indeed Jesus has this idea, this direction that he points in. But after that, all hell seems to break loose. And there's always a lot of testing that goes on. For Moses, it was trying to get the people through the desert to the promised land. For Noah, it was struggling in the ark until finally the waters abated. For Jonah, well, he kind of went the opposite way. So he brought a bit of trouble on himself. But then he had to go and prophesy to Nineveh. And the pattern, as I say, seems to be God gives the vision. But then there's this testing journey. But actually on that journey, and during those tests, those who are on the journey are kind of formed in such a way that they're even more ready for the release of the vision. And indeed, on to the next journey, for the achievement of that. The testing is the time of growth. Now we might think about that for our own lives, in our own lives as individuals, as families, as a church. Perhaps it's easier not to look for God's vision. Perhaps it's not easier not to hear from God, because we know when there is a vision, there's going to be a test, there's going to be a difficult journey. But the danger then, if we avoid that journey, that testing, avoid trying to get to the place where the vision is leading us, and actually a weakening can happen. That actually standing still and not testing our faith is a bit like not testing our muscles. Someone talks about faith being like our muscle. The more we test it out, the stronger it becomes. The less we use it, and then there's a weakening that may happen. Our faith can grow when we step out, when we test it. There's a wonderful book about it if you want to because if you want to walk on water, you've got to get out of the boat. Well, we haven't got any walking on water, but that sense of actually we've got to test our faith for it to be strengthened. And we need to remember as we go and as we gather each week and recall that God is good, even through the testing, even through the difficult times. God is good through those as well as the good times. The times on the mountaintop when God gives the vision, he's good, but he's good as well as we go through the difficult valley. But of course, it's the valley where things grow and where we're strengthened. And in the story, Jesus goes to sleep, but I'm reminded and assured by another psalm, Psalm 121, which is sometimes used at funerals, but I love the words that Psalm 121 says. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. God doesn't go to sleep on us. It may be our faith takes a snooze once in a while, but God is still there with us. Jesus was still there with them, and they just had to wake him up to restore their faith. And what this came to me, I think, as I was thinking about it, I thought, we as a church have got this vision. We've got a clear vision from God that we want this church to be open and accessible. We want it to be warm. Okay, we're getting there with that, maybe. And welcoming, encouraging, empowering. We want to uphold the traditions as well. We want to restore our bells to the glory. We want our choir to be able to sing out and to have all that they need. But we want to engage with modernity as well, and we're thinking about sound and visuals and the flexible space. All this is, I'm sure, is clear vision from God, and yet to journey towards those things is testing. It tests us in lots of different ways. It tests our energy, our time, our finances, our talents and our skills. But alongside the testing, I think we're encouraged, and I'm encouraged by this story, to trust. That's why that song sort of fitted in well for us today. Trusting in him, trusting in God, that actually he's given us the vision, and so he'll give us what we need to get to it, even though it will be a difficult journey maybe, and there'll be setbacks on the way, and I know there have been over the time. But actually he gives us what we need, and he will strengthen us as we go. We'll strengthen. I love the and I'll keep going on about the church walk. If you haven't walked down church walk recently, please do. What's a wonderful vision of the connection we're growing with the village. But also yesterday, I think, well, I didn't come down because I was busy preparing for today, but I know. Was anyone there working in the park yesterday morning? Bill was there, and I gather was Alf was there, wasn't he? So we got the chair of the parish council coming down to help clear our path. Really, it's not the parish council's responsibility necessarily, but it's something we've spoken to them about. And then you've got others from the church, and that linking in with other people and working together with them. I think God honours that and loves to see us working with others. And gathering, and so God brings the things that we need at the right time. So when God's given the vision, there is a testing, yes, but also as we trust him, then we can continue to seek his vision, and maybe the direction we're in needs to change by a few degrees, and that can make a big difference when you're out on the sea on a boat. I'm sure Don will know. You could end up in a whole different place, but that's fine. God guides us. We just go with where we sense he's pointing us. And there will be tests, but also there'll be time of celebration, time to celebrate the victories on the way, I hope. And certainly I love walking down the church walk and celebrate that little victory at the moment. So to bring to a close, the sense is that we need to set our sail to catch the wind of God's Holy Spirit to drive us on, that he is the one that will give us the energy and what we need. We can be tempted to get our oars out and paddle away by ourselves, but actually he's the one that gives us the strength. He's the one that gives us the right things at the right time when we need them. And even though we're tested, we'll be growing as we do that. And I just want to read a few verses from Psalm 121 as I close. The Lord is our keeper. The Lord is our shade at our right hand. The sun will not strike us by day, nor the moon by night. He will not let our foot be moved. He who keeps us will not slumber. who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord will keep our going out and our coming in from this time on and forevermore. Lord, we thank you for your trustworthiness, Lord, that you are faithful. We thank you for the vision you've given to us for this place. And as we journey towards that as a church community, as a PCC, as a group of people worshipping you, Lord, we pray that you would help us to grow through the time of testing, grow in our trust of you, grow in our faith, and that when we ask that question among ourselves, who are you, we can say confidently, you are the one who has helped us to bring this place to a place where many will come. Many will come, connect with you. For Lord, that's what we want. It's not for our glory, but for your glory. So lead us, guide us on, strengthen us. Help us to see those small victories on the way that we can celebrate together. And we pray that you will continue to speak to us and to guide us. And where there are storms and where our faith falters, we pray we would remember to come back to you, to fall on our knees in prayer, and to draw from you. Lord, come out and blow the sails of our community by your Spirit and in your strength. In Jesus' name, amen.